Hello, hello, hello. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning. You are tuning in listening to the Cinematic Odyssey here on U92 The Moose. It has been such a long time since we've done an episode. It's been almost 2 months. It'll nearly. Because the last episode we did was on the Oscars, and that was back in early March. So it's been quite a while. But it's good to be back, you know. Unfortunately, I guess to put it bluntly, I mean, we were planning on watching and discussing Oppenheimer and Barbie because, well, Oppenheimer obviously it won Best Picture because that's kind of the thing we do because we did that last year. With everything, everywhere, all at once, which we'll still discuss those films, shortly, or not today, but very soon. Yeah, I couldn't find time, couldn't find time. It got busy. I'm sure it got busy for you too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so we're starting off this back in the groove of things, hopefully. Now that, you know, school is coming to an end for you, at least for this semester. So you got the summer break coming up, which is nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll be able to hopefully be more consistent with this. But you know, this week we're gonna be talking about Asteroid City from Wes Anderson. But before we get into that though, since it has been such a long time since we have talked and recorded, we're gonna be talking about some films that we've seen over the past month and a half, almost 2 months, in theaters or not, new releases or not, new releases.
Do you want me to go first? Because I have a very, very short list. I
Oh yeah, go ahead.
have an incredibly short list, and I have seen in the last like month about four new to me movies. It's bad. It's been bad. Everything is piled up at once. It's been fantastic, and I don't know how I'm here, but I'm here. So like from the bottom up, I guess. I don't think that any of the ones that I saw were bad movies by any stretch, but just like least favorite to favorite kind of deal. In fourth, I guess, Monkey Man, Dev Patel's directorial
Oh,
debut.
I want to see
He
that.
also stars in it. It wasn't bad. I was a little disappointed in it. I mean, it was also pretty bloody, which I don't love, but it just, I think that there was a vision. I just they don't think that I was along for the ride. It was a different kind of action movie than we're used to seeing, which, again, very, very nice. But I think at times it can get to be a little too predictable, I guess is the word I want to. I
I
don't know if
see.
I want to use that word because it's definitely different and it's definitely like new. But
Yeah.
I think it's clear also that it was his first effort. But all in all, again, not bad. I went to I saw the classic 1999 comedy Office Space. That was great. I enjoyed that a lot. A movie in which a guy stops working and then gets promoted. Fantastic.
Oh,
And
really?
poor,
That's
poor.
like the premise?
I mean, basically, well, the summary that I have here is three office workers strike back at their evil employers by hatching a hapless attempt to embezzle money, which is technically true. But basically, Ron Livingston stars as Peter, who gives up on work after like hitting his head or something. He gives up on work and he just becomes a totally carefree guy. And everything works out for him. Because of course it does.
Yeah. plot armor.
And it's really clever and it's really well done. Next up on the list, I rewarded myself with this movie. I rewarded myself with this after submitting some of the last work that I had due this semester. Uh-huh. This was a gift to me. And I watched 12 Angry Men.
Oh, nice.
That was great.
Right there.
That was spectacular. I mean, I was looking at it for blocking and I'm like, ooh, that's gorgeous. That's a great shot right there. Chef's kiss. But my number one, I think, that I've seen in the past month and a half is Civil War from Alex Garland. Mm-hmm. I really appreciated it. Like, it felt to me, like, after having sat through that in the theater, I had to, like, recover for a little bit after that because it felt very, very, very similar to watching 20 Days in Maripol that I talked up very heavily in the Oscars episode. Best Documentary Feature Award winner. Definitely check that out. You must. Mm-hmm. It feels very, very similar to that in that it's just horrible, reckless, wanton violence that really shouldn't be happening. I think it's a very, very strong anti-war film. Not necessarily one that's political, but a strong anti-war film. And that's it. That's all I saw because I was doing other things. I was on a headset for a musical and I was, I don't know, going to school, crying in a corner. I don't know. One of the many. I got multiple corners in my room. We'll see. Kristen, what about you? What'd you see? More than me, I think.
Yeah. At least for new movies and new stuff in general. I mean, I saw that Quiet on Set documentary. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, as a documentary in the form, I mean, it wasn't anything special, but I guess what they talk about it's not even a secret. It wasn't even a secret before the documentary was made. Everybody knew about Dan Schneider and his, like, you know, creepiness and his very terrible work environment that he fostered. But I did not know about Drake Bell and his history, which is terribly sad, and the other various people that were working on those TV sets. But I also saw Dream Scenario, which was pretty funny. I laughed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That was very funny. Especially the scene when he's in that girl's apartment and he, like, farts.
Yep.
Yeah, that was very, very funny. I saw How to Blow Up a Pipeline.
Ooh,
that one's great, great film. Definitely watch that. It's a heist. It's an environmentalist film where this group of young people who have some connection to, like, being their lives are made worse by the presence of, like, the oil industry. So, like, they either live near, like, a oil refinery or whatever, and so they all like group up, and they plan on blowing up a pipeline. I mean, it's literally in the title. It's like reminiscent of a film we discussed on the podcast, A Man Escaped. We know what happens, but it's the journey to how they get there makes it so riveting. But yeah, great, great film, incredible. I saw Love Lies Bleeding. That was really good. It was very heavily stylistic, like super stylish film. Did you? Oh no, you haven't seen it, have you?
I want to. It's been heavily recommended to me. One of my friends has seen it multiple times.
Yeah, very, very, very stylish movie. Yeah, I don't really want to say much because I don't want to like give anything away.
Word.
Yeah. I saw a documentary, Girl State, which is a sister documentary to Boy State, which came out in 2019. It's by the same documentarians, Jesse Moss, Amanda McBain. And so this documentary just examines the Girl State, like it's basically a political convention of sorts where they are held in each state in America. This one was, I think, in Missouri, if I recall. And basically, we're just like observing their like event, because the goal of the Girl State is to create like a government, and so you know they have elections and stuff, and then they also have like a Supreme Court. And so all these attendants can run for certain positions and all these things, and they have like political debates and all these. Yeah, so that's basically what it is. Now, I wouldn't say it's as good as Boy State, because I think Boy State focuses more on like political commentary aspect of the film, whereas in this there's a lot of comparisons between Girl State and Boy State, and how Girl State is underfunded. It's not really like, it's more or less sidelined to the more funded and more respected like Boy State. And so, you know, there's that examination of like systemic misogyny in a way between the two organizations. And then, yeah, I saw Civil War, which I thought was okay. I like the anti-war stuff was good, and I do like that, but I also think there could have been more in terms of more political discourse, but that's just me. And then I saw Challengers, which is my number two this year so far. Ooh. My just below Dune 2. Yeah, Challengers is incredible. It's so fun, so energetic, so kinetic. I mean, Luca Guadagnino, however you say his last name, I can't for the life of me pronounce his last name, but this is his best film, easily. Although I haven't seen Bones and All, so cut me some slack here, but it's at least better than Call Me By Your Name. I think that's a fair, very fair assessment to make. Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Faced, they kill it. All of them are just like domineering, dude. The three of them, their chemistry is crazy. And Luca like plays with these insane this insane cinematography. The editing is crazy. Just the tension between the three of them, because it's like a love triangle film. It's a very sexual film, but there, funnily enough, there's no sex scenes in it. Spoiler alert. But
what? Oh man, I only go to the cinema for the spicy stuff. I actually would show up for the tennis. That's what I would go for. I would
go for the tennis. The tennis scenes are. Man, dude, oh my gosh, bro, they're so good. Oh my, I want to play tennis.
You watch tennis? Oh, it's so good.
It is. So good. It is. Dude, it is. Yes, Challengers, it's the real deal. It's the real deal. One of the best films of the year. Will be at probably in my top five at the end of the year, probably. We'll see how Kinds of Kindness goes, which I'll probably love, and then Francis Ford Coppola's last film, Megalopolis. But yeah, that's what I saw.
Very nice. Now, shall we dive right in?
Yes, we shall. So, Asteroid City Wes Anderson. I know this is a film you love.
I do.
Yeah, you love it very much.
I saw it
in theaters when it came out last year. Mm. And I wasn't fully awake when I watched it. Because I was tired, and so I was like falling asleep at moments. But I watched the movie. I never actually like passed out at any point.
Yeah.
There was just times where I was like dozing off, and then I woke back up.
Sounds like me during Zone of Interest. The first time.
So I couldn't really like gauge a proper assessment of it. But this time around, you know, rewatching it, being fully aware and not sleepy. I did like it a little bit more, but there's just something that I don't click with, I guess. Like, I feel like I'm just, when I'm watching it, I'm yearning for older Wes, which is funny to say because his style has never changed, really. In fact, he's just reinforced more into his style over the course of his career. But I don't know, I feel like the older writing, maybe it's because he had co-writers in the other film, like Fantastic Mr. Fox. I know he co-wrote that with Noah Baumbach. Royal Tenenbaums, he co-wrote that with Owen Wilson, I think. Same with Rushmore. I love those three films, you know, of his. And then Grand Budapest Hotel. But that, I think he wrote that himself. I don't think he had a co-writer for that. But like those four movies of his, I absolutely adore. I mean, I think they're incredible. But I mean, from the last three that he's released, so this one, French Dispatch, and Isle of Dogs, I don't know, I feel like he hasn't been hitting those heights that he was in the first half of his career.
So, I mean, I love Asteroid City. The French Dispatch I've seen, and I get that. I get where you're coming from, because that one is very, very stylistic. I think it's missing some of the substance that a lot of his others have. Fantastic Mr. Fox, Royal Tenenbaums, ones that I've seen. But Asteroid City made my top five last year. And I think for very, very good reason. Because I think that this film does so well to look at inside the mind of not just actors, but also humans. Ask the question, I don't get it. Why are we here? And answers it, honestly, with, I don't know, just keep going. And I think that that is so beautiful, and that is so thoughtful, and that is so, you know, understandable, that if, you know, you are not a person of, you know, a strong faith, one or the other, if you are not a person who, you know, knows for 100% certain what's going to happen after death, or why we're here, spoiler alert, none of us do. Hooray. At least not for certain. But to have that kind of mindset of, it's okay, it doesn't matter. Not that it doesn't matter, but it's okay, just keep telling the story, just keep going. I think that that whole idea is beautiful. And I totally get behind it. And I'm like, I'm gonna ride this and say Asteroid City got snubbed for Best Picture, for Best Original Screenplay, for Production Design, because how the heck do you make a three-dimensional shack look like it's two-dimensional just for the sake of a movie? It's incredible. It's awesome. I love it. What the heck? Screw Poor Things is production design. Put Asteroid City in there.
Whoa, hey.
No, okay, that's a little far. That's a little far.
No.
That might be a little far.
Yeah. Well, I was saying, like, how did this get snubbed?
I don't know.
And it's like,
this is so much better than Henry Sugar.
Does the Academy not like Wes? Has he been nominated for much?
Not since Budapest.
Dude, what's up with that?
That's a great question.
That's crazy to me. Do people not like his movies?
I don't know.
In his circle of people? But I mean, look at these A-listers. Literally has like the whole cast is A-listers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I love it because it's like, I think, what if it's just like a conflict of interest because so many people in Hollywood have worked on this movie, they then can't vote for it. That's not how the Academy works, but
he's only been nominated for 8 Oscars in his career.
Yeah. And I think 4 of them are from Budapest.
3 of them.
3.
Best Picture, Director, and Original Screenplay.
Yep.
Oh yeah, Moonrise Kingdom too. That's another film of his I love. I forgot about that one. Yeah. but
to dive into Asteroid City.
Yeah.
A fictional place.
Yeah, I mean, it's this typical thing. He starts off with like an author of some sort. Like, because I know in the French Dispatch, it was a group of writers for like a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And then their own separate stories. Or in like Grand Budapest Hotel is like an author of a book. I think Fantastic Mr. Fox is also the same way. I don't know. Actually, it doesn't open with a narrator.
It's based off of a
book. Well, I mean, it's based off a book. Yeah, I mean, it's adapted from a book of the same name. But
yeah, starting out with Conrad Earp, the playwright.
Yeah.
And Bryan Cranston on the Twilight Zone.
There was moments where I got a little confused where like what was the play and what wasn't the play. Like I know everything that's happening in Asteroid City is the play. But when it cuts to black and white and then like cuts to color, like those scene where they're sitting in that like little auditorium room and they're having like a meeting or something. Like, is that in the play?
No.
No?
If it's black and white, it's not in the play.
Really?
Yeah. If it's black and white, it's not in the play.
But the beginning is in the play, though. When Bryan Cranston's doing his narration.
That's the documentary about the play that didn't exist. It's entirely hypothetical. He says, okay. It's a play about this play does not exist, written by fictional playwright Conrad Earp.
Oh.
It's entirely fake. It's a documentary. And so the black and white stuff is mostly production, behind the scenes, nothing on stage.
Oh, okay. So, like, that scene when Jason Schwartzman character, not in the play, but like the actor or whatever he plays, when he goes to the writer's house, that's not in the play.
Correct. That's how he booked the role in the play, but that's not part of the play.
Oh, because I thought like everything that we saw in black and white was just an additional layer of the play. Like I thought it was a play within a play.
Ooh.
That's what I thought was happening.
Interesting.
Because the way that the beginning was presented, because he's like, you know, he's typing on his typewriter on stage. And,
fair.
And then,
you need to see more plays. That's my pitch. You need to see more theater. This is what we're taking away from this.
Oh, dude, whatever. Come on, you can't blame me. It's
no, I can't. No, I can't. I will, but I can't.
Regardless, I mean, I aside from that, I wasn't confused. It was just like, okay, well, am I watching the play or am I watching like the actors like working? I don't know. Whatever, it doesn't matter. It's not that important. What is important though is, you know, this was something that when I did watch it initially for the first time, was, and I mentioned it just a few minutes ago, was the writing. And I think this aspect of Wes's filmmaking has kind of turned into a bad thing, is his, I wouldn't say it's an over-reliance on, but the last two films have had these insane cast listing. I mean, I know that was something he had done, like getting these large, insane ensemble casts, but never to the extent that Asteroid City and French Dispatch goes. And I think that hinders the writing a little bit and the potential like storytelling of and thematic like depth of the film. And I wish like for, you know, Jason Schwartzman's character, we get more of a dive into his grief. Because, I mean, we see it. We see him discuss it and, like, talk about it. And I understand, like, he's broken up. But I think maybe focusing on that, I would have liked that if it was more of, like, the focus of the film. And then using that as a vehicle to talk about the major, like, overarching theme about humanity. But I don't know.
It would have been nice. I think it deals a lot in absurdist comedy a little bit, in that the way that Wes structures a lot of his dialogue and the way that he structures a lot of his scenes are that stripped back, unemotional line delivery.
Oh,
and so you're just getting the words. And with that, I think it takes away some of the range you maybe need to play a character like that, but it also, I think, means that the writing must be crystal clear. And I mean, it works for me, but I mean, I can totally see how that deeper dive would make that so much better. I mean, I really like the three little daughters burying the Tupperware. I think that's really,
funny.
Really sweet.
No, like there's,
it's really sweet, and it's quite funny.
Yeah,
and it's adorable, and Tom Hanks wanting to dig up the Tupperware, great. it's beautiful. It's so sweet.
Yeah, I mean that's an aspect of his filmmaking that I've known. You know, is absurd. Yeah. Like comedy, and the monotone, like deadpan delivery, of his filmmaking and his writing. But I think, I don't know, it just didn't do it for me in this one for some reason.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know why. To be honest, I don't know why. I was just yearning for that older, his older films.
Dare me to take a guess?
What?
Do you dare me?
Dare you. I dare you. Take a guess.
What's the point? I mean, that was fun. But I don't know. I think that I honestly, I think immediately with me, there's like a subconscious bias that kicks in when there's a movie about a play. Because being in that world, I can get a lot more of these logistical leaps. I can understand a lot more of these substance bits, act scene breakdowns, set needs. What is a playwright doing? Like, acting technique. I can get behind a lot of this because this is the world that I kind of live in. And to have a movie made around that sort of experience of building a play is something that I think I connect with much, much more than you do, Tristan, because you have not been doing drama since you were in the fifth grade. So we'll call it a developmental flaw. No.
Developmental flaw? What do you call me, dumb?
It's like applying to for a job now. You lack the necessary experience to understand this bit. Entry level position, you need 6 to 10 years of experience, and also your uncle must work for the company.
Entry level position, you need to have 6 years.
Yeah. I mean, what, you don't have 6 years experience?
No.
Well, sorry, next.
All the entry level jobs ask for 6 years of experience.
Yeah. So there we go. but I feel like that's it, because immediately tuned into the fact that I'm watching a play, I know what's different about live theater. I know what's different about that sort of experience. And so to be there and take that in, it makes a little bit more sense to me. The quick jumps between scenes make sense. The animated alien, Jeff Goldblum, I guess. It's so like, it totally makes sense and looks like it would if there was a stage production that put enough money into it, basically.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's why I harp so heavily on the production design of the whole thing.
Which is crazy that it wasn't nominated for that.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, come on. You have to. Like, how do you not nominate a film like this?
Yeah.
For production design? Like, how do you not do that?
And I think one of the greatest bits is the scene between Jason Schwartzman and Margot Robbie on the twin fire escapes.
Like the balconies or whatever?
Yeah, balconies, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that happens all the time. Cut scenes, cut characters, actors having a job, then not having a job. It happens. And the fact that she walks through the entire scene that could have been in the play and wasn't, I think is so, so cool. And I think it adds a lot of context that the actors playing the characters know, but it's their job to then convey that to an audience without directly telling us.
Mm.
And I think it's so cool. And that's my fanboy phase for the
like the movie. Like the anatomy of an actor?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, the anatomy of an actor. Dissecting the actor's role in a film or in a play.
Yeah.
Your job, essentially.
Right. Yeah. Because everything an actor does can tell you about what the character has experienced, not just through dialogue.
No, yeah.
And I feel like it's so interesting that in a movie where the dialogue is like the only thing where we're getting the character and emotion from, that we're then adding that layer of subtext to the performance that we've already been watching for 2.5 acts.
Mm.
It was weird. I loved it. It was great.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I just... I want to like it. I do. I mean, it wasn't bad. I don't think it was bad.
No.
By any means. I just think, I don't know, I guess I prefer his older stuff.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, because
I mean,
I just felt distracted by, like, all the different characters. But, like, in previous films, I mean, the only problem I have it with is this and The French Dispatch. But everything else, I've never really had that problem.
Mm.
You know? So.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I get it. I mean, I can see why it slips down other people's lists. And I mean, once I get around to seeing things like Moonrise Kingdom and Grand Budapest Hotel, Rushmore, Bottle Rocket, all the, I guess, like, I'll put it in quotes, classic. Or, I mean, even like Life Aquatic.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. Or Darjeeling Limited.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen those yet.
I mean, I think once there's a complete record, it's going to be interesting to see how it all falls out. Mm-hmm. But taking it as, like, what it is without comparison, I'm such a strong lover of this. I told my dad stayed up during the movie. My mom didn't, but my dad did. That was a shock. I told my dad, hey, there's going to be a lot of people in this movie. Please don't say, oh my God, they're in this? And I listed off a ton of names of people who were in this. And he's like, cool, got it. And then we're getting to the meat of it. And he's like, wait, Tilda Swinton's in this?
Oh, they're all the names were listed off in the beginning.
I know. I mean, I don't think he read that much. I think it was, he's waiting for the faces to show up. He was like, oh my God, that's Hong Chao from The Whale, who was in there for like 7 lines. And yeah. She's gone. Jeff Goldblum is the alien, his on screen for 6 seconds. It's great.
It's so funny because it's like all these people obviously love working for Wes.
Yeah.
Or like working on his films. Because, I mean, look at the list. I mean, Bill Murray, who's usually his, like, number one guy, is not even in this.
There's a story about that, if you're up for it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Why he wasn't
so, in it. Yeah. He was originally going to play the Steve Carell role.
Oh, really?
But he was infected with COVID.
Oh.
And so he got Carell instead. Oh. But he arrived on set after recovering, but Wes couldn't give him a part because there weren't any more, I guess. And so he, like, created this fictional part that doesn't exist and is not pictured.
Just for Bill?
Just for Bill.
Oh my God.
It was additional character created for a short promotional trailer.
Oh, that was it? Just for a trailer?
Yes.
Okay. So not for the... Oh, I see. Not for the film. That's funny. And then no Owen Wilson. Although they haven't done anything in a while together. I wonder what happened there.
I mean, wasn't he in French Dispatch, or am I, like, tripping a little bit?
Was he? I don't think he was.
He might not have been.
I think he was in Isle of Dogs. I think.
Oh, no, he was in French Dispatch.
He was?
Yeah.
Oh, he was? Oh, okay, never mind.
Owen was in there.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, he was. The OGs. Well, Jason Schwartzman's now his main man. From now on.
I love it. I support that so much.
He's so good. He's such a great actor, dude.
Agreed. And, I mean, even the Scarlett Johansson bits, I mean, she's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I'm thinking, like, even, I mean, the kids, I mean, all-star kids. Woodrow, Dinah, Brainiac, Sophia Lillis they got, do you dare me to eat this chili pepper? Why? Do you dare me?
That game they play where they were just naming names and then memorizing them and just re-saying them.
I love that so much. That's so nerdy. It's so sweet. I love it.
That's fun for them, is just naming names.
I mean, I think it's the feat. It's like, why do people like do spelling bees?
Because they want to flex their intellectual muscles on everybody else.
Bam.
They want to be like, I know how to spell Iditarod. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm gonna pretend that wasn't. You're looking at a 3-time spelling bee champ.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Nice.
In my grade school, not necessarily like any big thing, but in my grade school,
you were never a contestant in the national spelling bee competition in America,
No, I don't think I could get out of the county in that. But in my school,
in your school though,
undefeated, untouched.
Well, some of those words that they be spelling though be crazy, and words you'll never hear in your life. Like no one will ever say them. You only hear those words in a spelling bee competition.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, so it's like,
or like, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really have much else to say, to be honest.
I mean, that's fair. I really want to just end on the quote exactly as it is between Jason Schwartzman and Adrian Brody, the lead of the play and the director of the play. And it's, again, the perfect metaphor for life, because as actors in anything, you want to find out the reasons your person does something. It's one step removed from human behavior. You do things because you have set experiences, you have your hopes, desires, dreams, aims, aspirations, all that stuff. And you behave in a certain way because of all of that combined. With acting, you have to find that for a fictional character and understand the basics of human life for another person. You have to grow and develop who that person is. And so he leaves because he can't get it. He's to the point where the play doesn't make sense. The play being the world, life, whatever. It doesn't make sense. And he leaves and he says, I still don't understand the play. And the director says, doesn't matter. Just keep telling the story. It's not as important to understand what we're about, what we're saying, or why we're here, what we're doing. It's not as important to understand the purpose. It's more important to keep going. And I think that that is beautiful and perfect, and I think that that exchange alone puts this film very, very high in my ranking, personally.
I mean, maybe it'll grow on me. I mean,
yeah, we'll just rewatch it every month.
Then I'll just get fatigue, bro.
You'll have it memorized.
Yeah, if I watched it every month.
Yeah. Bonus episode. Bonus episode of the Cinematic Odyssey. Tristan recites Asteroid City from memory.
Hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah. I also want to hear you singing the alien song. Bear alien who are in heaven. Lean and skinny, about 6'7". Well, I kind of want to hear it. No, no. Listeners of the Cinematic Odyssey, if you would like to hear Tristan sing the alien song from Asteroid City, please make it known in the comments of the Asteroid City Instagram post that is coming when this episode airs. So, please do that, and then we can release bonus content of Tristan doing that.
All right. Don't disappoint, guys. I want to see that engagement.
I need one person to ask.
I ain't doing it for free. Just kidding. We have a Patreon. That's Patreon only content.
This is the Cinematic Odyssey's OnlyFans.
Subscribe to our Patreon for $1 a month. You get all of our exclusive content. Like me singing.
Should we do that? Do we have to do that? Should we do that now?
No.
No, it doesn't exist currently, so please don't send somebody money because it's not going to us.
Yeah. I do like the San Fernando reference in that song in the beginning. The beginning credits.
Yeah.
Intro credits.
Last Going train to San Fernando.
San Fernando. San Fernando Valley gang. Rise up.
That's a song from a long time ago. 57.
1957. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, this takes place during the 50s.
Yeah, it was a Trinidadian calypso song written originally. The genre that I'm reading on this was a skiffle version, and which doesn't feel like a real word. Oh no, that is a real word. It's folk. Well, that's fun. Skiffle.
Skiffle.
Yeah.
All right, who had the best trip?
I have an answer to this.
Okay. There's lots of candidates.
It's true. I almost forgot about him. But then I remembered. My candidate for best trip is Stanley Zack, the character, as played by Tom Hanks, in the golf uniform, like the pink diamond pants and the belt. I love it. It's so good. The pants alone sell it for me. It's like his first outfit.
Oh, yes. I'm looking at it right now.
It's gorgeous. You can't beat it, in my opinion.
Those are cool pants. Although I don't know if I'd ever wear pants like that, but they're cool.
For $5 on our Patreon, you can see both of us in those pants.
That's more like $20 because we gotta pay for those pants.
That's a good point. Pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view. This is a pay-per-view event here on Patreon Plus. Patreon Premium. No ad subscription. No ad subscription. Oh my lord.
What do you think?
Yeah, subscribe to our Patreon. You can get the entry level subscription tier one at $1 a month, and then tier two is $5 a month, tier three $10 a month.
You're gonna break me, man.
Oh man. Who got the best drip, though? At least for me.
Yeah, who had the best drip?
Who had the best drip for me? Let me see. I really liked Jason's character's outfit, but I don't know if that's like my favorite. Like, I like, there's, I think, dude, I don't know. I like the, who's that played by? One of the dads, he's the dad of the kid that made like the ray gun thing. Who's that played by?
Steven Park. Is this the, this isn't the Dare Me guy, this is the Asian guy, right?
No, this is the Dare Me guy. The dad of the Dare Me kid.
That's Liev Schreiber.
Oh, it's Liev Schreiber?
Yep.
That's Liev Schreiber?
Yeah.
He's unrecognizable.
Really?
I think it's because the beard isn't there. It's just the mustache. That throws me off.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
Because I always seen him with the what do you call it? The stubble? Yeah, the stubble.
Yeah, that's fair.
Stubble. That's what I've always seen him wearing. Never with just the mustache. I like his suits a lot. Like
that's
his
fair.
Like soft suits, like the soft colored suits.
Yeah.
And then shout out to the actor from Succession who plays Hugo in Succession. Whatever his kid, he had like one line. He was on screen for like a total of like 15 seconds.
I have no idea. I mean, I want to give an honorable mention to Jeff Goldblum on Fit. Oh, Fisher Stevens. I like Fisher Stevens. But I want to give a big shout out to Jeff Goldblum for the alien fit.
The alien
puts
suit.
On all the he puts on the suit and doesn't really know what it's for. It's great. It's a metaphor.
It's a metaphor.
It's what he says. It's his one line. His one line is, I don't play him as an alien, actually. I play him as a metaphor. That's my interpretation. A metaphor for what? I don't know yet. We don't pin it down.
So funny.
That's great.
I mean, Wes is hilarious.
Yeah.
He's very funny.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Dare me to give it 5 stars again?
I dare ya.
Done.
Dare me to give it 0 stars again? Just kidding. Okay. I probably just keep it at 3.5. That's what I'll keep it at.
Egad.
Well, I mean, that's about it from us.
Again, keep an eye on us on Instagram, odyssey.of.cinema, where, you know, maybe we will finally start that Patreon. So Who knows? Maybe you will finally see us in pants or Tristan in singing along to banjo skiffle music. But you know what? I hope that no matter where we go in this crazy world called life, I hope that we always remember that when it comes to auto mechanics, there is either a really easy fix to your problem, or you should just buy a new car.
No in between.
There is no in between.
There is no in between.
No, never. It can't be fixed in a day. It can't be fixed.
That scene cracked me up.
Yeah. But goodbye. We'll probably be back soon.
Yes. We don't know what we're going to watch next, but we'll figure it out. We usually do.
It's fun not knowing, right?
We'll make sure to actually, like, you know, record it and then send it out within a span of a week.
Seems like wishful thinking. Well, we can make that happen, though.
We'll make it happen. We'll make it happen. We have to make it happen. We have to.
Indeed.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Sorry for making you guys wait for another episode. But I think we're back. We are back. We're back.
We're so back.
Yes, we are. We're so back. Thank you for listening. This has been the Cinematic Odyssey. Tune in next week. Yes, tune in next week. I'm putting it out there so it happens. Tune in next week. Not next month. Not next year. Next week. For another episode of the Cinematic Odyssey. Here on U92 The Moose, this has been Asteroid City, Wes Anderson, forever.